ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hamza Yousaf has announced that he's stepping down as Scotland's First Minister and leader of the Scottish National Party, triggering a search for a successor. His resignation comes a year after he replaced Nicola Sturgeon, but it's the last 2 weeks which have proved to be extremely politically costly. The SNP's decision to scrap a climate change target saw its power-sharing agreement with the Scottish Greens collapse and ended with the First Minister quitting his job. Leslie Riddoch is an award-winning Scottish journalist and broadcaster and joins me now from Fife in Scotland. Leslie, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Hello there. Hi.
How significant is this announcement in Scottish politics, and is it a surprise?
Well, it's brought everything grinding to a halt today, I can tell you. Nobody quite saw this coming. Actually, you know, it looks, the order of events looks like the decision to basically axe the early net zero target was the thing that triggered all the trouble. But actually, the SNP and the Scottish Greens were in a partnership in government, and both of them agreed that there was no way they were actually going to reach that target. So it was time to grow up, be honest, and just decide it couldn't be reached and announce that. So actually, that wasn't really what the disagreement was about. I think the bigger, far bigger issue has been gender identity, and that has rumbled on in Scottish politics, like many other places, no doubt, for actually several years. The Greens are very strong on trans rights. In government, they have pushed and have found agreement with the SNP to come up with new rights for trans people. But the real kind of sticking point has been how to treat very young children who are experiencing confusion about their gender identity. And that's seen a lot of argument over the last couple of weeks. And I think that was the last straw.
What's been the public reaction, Leslie, to this decision by Hamza Yousaf that he needs to step down?
Well, it's pretty mixed. You know, I think people have seen for a while that it hasn't looked like an easy kind of business, because after all, you're following somebody. You know, I was going to say it's a big pair of shoes to fill, but actually it was a pretty small pair of Ginny's shoes that he had to fill. In that Nicola Sturgeon, perhaps the very reason that we're speaking here across the world about Scotland, is Nicola Sturgeon still. Mm. So coming out from her shadow, really tough. Hamza Yousaf had got a bit of a stance of his own because as a Pakistani himself, although born in Scotland, always says Scotland's his home, he has taken a very strong stance on Gaza and uniquely basically in Britain as a political leader. So that perhaps gave him a bit of profile, and people who feel strongly about the situation in Palestine, and that's a lot of Scots, really admired his stance. So there's a whole kind of mixture of emotions and yet, we'd got to the stage where it didn't look as if there was confidence about being able to carry on. The SNP have not got an overall majority. We have a proportional parliament. It's designed to make you cooperate. And if you can't get the confidence of the only other party that supports independence in the parliament, you know, that's a bit of a problem.
What sort of a leader do you think Hamza Yousaf has been? You've talked about some of the issues that he's made a stand on, but overall, what would your assessment be, Leslie?
Well, I mean, he's been very different from Nicola, and I think it's taken him some time to make those things seem worthwhile. He's much more of a conciliator. He's more of a mediator. For example, in Scotland, there have been no strikes in the health service, no train strikes for about a year. If you go south of the border here into England, it seems there's quite a lot of strikes and quite a lot of adversarialism still works through industrial relations. So that was something that was pointed to very much as his style. And he is a very easygoing guy. He seemed to wear all the kind of problems of leadership pretty lightly. He's much younger than a lot of other leaders. And of course, he's from a different ethnic background, which has attracted some racist stuff towards him, but also has encouraged a lot of ethnic minorities in the country to feel that, you know, this is a guy who speaks for them. So it's been a bit of a mixture, but probably it needed more drive. People who support independence, and I've got to say I do, wanted to see some more emphasis on that, although quite what, probably people couldn't specify.
Who's likely to take the top job, do you think, Leslie?
Well, it might be names that you wouldn't be familiar with, and why should you be? One, the most likely, is John Swinney, who was a deputy leader 20 years ago. He stood down from active politics about a year ago, although he's still a member of the parliament. So it might there might be a question over how much you can crank yourself back up when you've, you know, you're a bit older, but you've also taken the decision psychologically to step back. His wife's not very well. So he might, however, be a very safe pair of hands and is trusted at, on most sides of the parliament. The other candidate is Kate Forbes, that ran Hamza Yousaf very close. She's a kind of controversial figure. She has socially conservative views. She's against gay marriage. She's actually against children out of wedlock, although she says she wouldn't apply those Christian views on any legislation if she was elected. On the other hand, she's powerful, zingy. She's got quite a presence. I mean, she's quite got quite a kind of... I mean, she tore a strip off Hamza Yousaf in full view of the cameras in a way that perhaps he's never quite recovered from, and he didn't respond in kind. So maybe she is another possibility, but it might not be her time. I mean, this is a messy time. You might be better to sit this out until you get through the next general election and then see what happens.
Yeah, sometimes it's better to sit it out strategically. What does all this mean for the push for a second independence referendum and the momentum behind that, do you think?
Well, I think it would be fair to say it's hard to see what the momentum is at the moment. Last year, was it last year or the year before, the Supreme Court judged that the Scottish Parliament didn't have the power to hold a referendum of its people on anything, fundamentally. The question being whether it could hold its own independence referendum. Both the main parties are totally opposed to giving the Scots another referendum. And Keir Starmer, who's very likely to become the Prime Minister, has repeated that. He's got the same sort of view as the Conservatives. So it looks like there's a kind of deadlock there. I think the strategy is to keep trying to fight each election to get a mandate to be able to talk about an independence referendum with some authority, and to wait as the younger generation come forward, because they're 60 to 70% support for independence. So over time, a bit like Northern Ireland, where I grew up, things are changing. The younger people are changing their views in Ireland, a different view towards the United Ireland. It's a terrible reflection to me on democracy that that's what we have to do, wait till generations change before you actually get some response. But that's where we are.
Why is it so important to you, do you think?
Well, a whole load of reasons, but I mean, just amongst them, here I am sitting in Scotland, one of the most energy-rich countries possibly in the world, and we have the highest levels of fuel poverty in Europe. And everywhere you go, you see the signs, should say, energy is a power that's reserved to Westminster and wasn't devolved to Scotland. So there's many things like this where we haven't got the power to raise taxes. The Scottish Parliament, supposedly the most powerfully devolved parliament on earth, not only can't hold a referendum on anything without permission, but also can't raise the tax to invest in district heating, which we should have been on, like the rest of Northern Europe, decades ago. So we're dragging behind. We're losing people. I mean, you can wave all the Scots, the young Scots in Australia, because that's where what seems to be the biggest traction is, looking at the deadlock on a lot of things here and thinking, let's just go somewhere warmer and, you know, groovier.
It's not that much warmer this morning in Melbourne, I can tell you. Leslie, so good.
Listen, it is.
Leslie,
10 degrees here, I'll tell you.
It's so good to talk to you, and thank you very much. We really appreciate it.
Thanks.
That's Leslie Riddo. There's an award-winning journalist and broadcaster in Scotland talking to us about the decision from Hamza Yousaf to step down as Scotland's first minister.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.